Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. It is 5:30 p.m. I would like to welcome everyone to the Tompkins County Legislature. If you could please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call of members.
Greg Mezzi.
Here.
Veronica Peller.
Here.
Lee Sherliff.
Here.
Mike Sigler.
Here.
Travis Brooks. Randy Brown.
Here.
Amanda Champion.
Here.
Deborah Dawson has asked to be excused. Henry Granison.
Present.
Rich John. Dan Klein.
Here.
Ann Corman.
Here.
Mike Lane.
Here.
Shauna Black.
Here.
We have 11 members present.
Thank you, Kathy. Today is a very special day, not just because we have a legislature that is packed with our community members, but today we are here to celebrate the Newfield varsity boys basketball team. It is with the highest honor that I am very excited to provide a proclamation. It was written by Randy Brown to the team, and we have the members of the basketball team here in our audience today. Whereas the 2022 Newfield High School varsity boys basketball team attends school in Newfield, New York, and whereas the members of the 2022 Newfield Boys Varsity Basketball Team are Carter Auden, I apologize for messing up any names ahead of time. Carter Auden, Anthony Ellison, Jalen Hardison, who's the captain, Brody Jackson, Austin Jenny, Hezekiah McCoy, Derek Polezowitz, who's also a captain, Garrett Porter, Sebastian Rainbow, Zachary Schwobel, Trevor Sen, Jeffrey Smith, Gregory Taylor, Zachary Taylor, captain, and Cozy Zavosky Starks. And whereas the 2022 Newfield varsity boys basketball team was coached by Michael Nemhard, head coach, Ayanda Natambella, assistant coach, and Ricky Stewart, assistant coach. And whereas the Newfield and Tompkins County community recognizes the teamwork, resiliency, and commitment demonstrated in the 2021 through 22 season by the players, coaches, and families in these challenging times. And whereas the 2022 Newfield varsity boys basketball team went on to win the IAC Small School South Division Championship, the Section 4 Championship, the Regional Championship, the New York State Class C Championship. Now, therefore, I, Shauna Black, Chairwoman of the Tompkins County Legislature, on behalf of all Tompkins County legislators, would like to formally recognize the Newfield Central High School varsity boys basketball team for their outstanding dedication and achievements as the New York State Class C champions. In witness whereof, I, Shauna Black, have hereunto set my hand and cause to be affixed the great seal of Tompkins County, State of New York, on this 17th day of May 2022. If I could have a coach and maybe a few players come up to accept the proclamation and say a few words.
We should have a hoop put in the chambers.
Thank you for recognizing us as a team and as a whole. organization, and yeah, thank you.
As Jalen said, I want to thank
you. Oh, 6 inches.
As Jalen said, I want to thank you guys for inviting us here today and acknowledging the hard work of my guys, is what I call them. I mean, this season has been very challenging, and we set a goal at the beginning of the season, and, you know, we did it. I just say we did it. You know, it took a lot of resilience, took a lot of planning, took a lot of dedication, took a lot of heart for these guys to be state champs. And I'm just so thankful and proud that, you know, I am a part of being, you know, part of a new history in Newfield by winning New York State champs. So I'm just so grateful in my heart right now for these guys, for the program, for the support of community, for the support of parents, and just the program. You know, I'm still in the clouds right now, you know, from all this. And, you know, it took a lot of preparation. People don't know what coaches go through, you know, through the season. They go through a lot. They go through a lot of preparation and just a lot of other stuff that they have to go through. And when we won it, it was just like, you know, a relief to me that we reached our goal, not only for myself and for the program. So I'm just thankful today for you guys just acknowledging myself and my guys and the program and the community. Thank you.
Newfield, we are very, very proud of you. I don't know how loud I can say that. I have kids that go to Ithaca, so I feel like a traitor right now. Boy, next, I don't know. We have a few other proclamations here. It might be great for us to do the Hepatitis Awareness Month with the young kids here in the audience. Okay. You know what? Let's do mental health first. We do have a proclamation that recognizes mental health. Whereas mental health is essential to everyone's overall health and well-being, and whereas everyone experiences times of difficulty and stress in their lives, and whereas prevention is an effective way to reduce the burden of mental health conditions, and whereas there is a strong body of research that supports specific tools that we can all use to better handle challenges and protect their health and well-being, and whereas mental health conditions are real and prevalent in our county, whereas with early and effective treatment, those individuals with mental health conditions can recover and lead full, productive lives, and whereas each business, school, government agency, healthcare provider, organization, and citizen share the burden of mental health problems and has a responsibility to promote mental wellness and support prevention efforts, and whereas we call upon the citizens, government agencies, public and private institutions, businesses, and schools in Tompkins County to recommit our community to increasing awareness and understanding of mental health, the steps our citizens can take to protect their mental health, and the need for appropriate and accessible services for all people with mental health conditions. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Tompkins County Legislature does hereby proclaim the month of May 2022 as Mental Health Awareness Month in Tompkins County. In witness whereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause to be affixed the great seal of Tompkins County, State of New York, on this 17th day of May 2022. And Frank Krupa will come up to accept the proclamation.
Good
this off. Thank you, Chairwoman and Legislature, for this proclamation. May is every year Mental Health Awareness Month, and I think one of the things that came forward in this proclamation is the need for us as an entire community to come together to meet the needs. The demand has only gone up over the last few years, and there are folks in our community that need our help, and we're just asking everyone to recommit themselves to helping us bring to bear what's necessary so folks can live their best life, especially those dealing with mental health issues. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. And next, we do have a proclamation for Hepatitis Awareness Month. I'm just going to read a few parts of this proclamation. Whereas hepatitis or inflammation of the liver result in an estimated 1.1 million deaths worldwide, with an estimated 3 million new infections occurring every day. Whereas a person dies of a hepatitis-related illness every 30 seconds, more people each year than malaria, tuberculosis, or HIV and AIDS. Now, therefore, I, Shauna Black, Chairwoman of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim the month of May 2022 as Hepatitis Awareness Month. And we're going to have Frank come up again for this proclamation.
And I'm back, and I promise it's because everyone else was chicken. Thank you again to Chairwoman and the Legislature for this proclamation recognizing Hepatitis Awareness Month. I did want to call out one of our community partners, Reach Medical, that has done some very significant work in our community on addressing hepatitis. They've made it core to their medical practice and addressing folks that are dealing with hepatitis. And during the pandemic, we had a Hepatitis A outbreak amongst our homeless population in our encampment, and they did amazing work in helping us get vaccinations and medical care to those folks where they are in the encampment. So we wanted to particularly thank them for this, and thank you again for recognizing Hepatitis Awareness Month.
Thank you, Frank. And the last proclamation that we have is for Older Americans Month. Whereas Tompkins County is home to over 16,000 citizens age 60 and over who deserve recognition for their contributions of strength, wisdom, and experience to our community. And whereas communities benefit when people of all ages, abilities, and backgrounds are welcomed, included, and supported. And whereas Tompkins County recognizes that just as every person is unique, so too is how they age and how they choose to do it will look different for each person. And whereas Tompkins County recognizes our need to create a community that provides services and supports older Americans need to thrive and live independently for as long as they desire. And whereas Tompkins County can work to build an even better community for our older residents by supporting programs that encourage independence, encouraging activities are responsive to individual needs and preferences, ensuring access to services that support aging in place. Now, therefore, I, Shauna Black, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim the month of May 2022 as Older Americans Month. And Lisa Monroe is here from, she's the director for the Office for the Aging. Hi, Lisa.
I wish I was there. You guys have a great crowd. Congratulations, Newfield. I'll just shout out there. That was great. And thank you, Madam Chair, for recognizing and proclaiming that May is Older Americans Month in Tompkins County. This, too, is something that happens every year. I think this year's theme is pretty interesting. It's called Age My Way, and it really embodies the idea that people are individuals and unique, and there's really no right or wrong way to age. So supporting older adults and their choices and their preferences and independence, you know, and their access to services and programs really will help strengthen their participation and ultimately help our communities. So I'll share this with my staff and our advisory board, and we will proudly display it in our office. So thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Next, I would like to make an announcement of an executive session for two subjects. One is contract negotiations We will not be making a decision after that conversation. The second is personnel matter with a particular employee. Again, we will not be coming out of executive session and voting or making a distinction. Next, privilege of the floor for the public. We have Lucas Jones via Zoom.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for taking a little bit of time to talk with both myself and Tania, my operations slash AP counterpart in the store. I just want to talk about the Tides proposal and how far I feel we've come as a business sector with not just Tompkins County, but the city of Ithaca. And obviously, as a business owner, we've experienced quite a few instances over the last 2 years of me being in this location that have acted as disturbances to the business. It has impacted us financially. I'm just going to be completely transparent. We're spending over $250,000 a year in security for our building. And that is a cost, obviously, that is not taken lightly by our executive team and or our board of directors being here in Ithaca. The other piece I wanted to touch to, and I've worked with a lot of other business owners, tight-knit group, where we're actually becoming much closer as we talk about the instances and trying to resolve this for not just ourselves but other businesses here in the plaza, is how can we come together as a team? How can we help both Ithaca and Tompkins County make this element more conducive to both the business sector and the individuals that are living back there? It's the transients that are the biggest problem. They're the ones that bring an element that is hard to overcome, and hence why we have Brosnan security truck on our property rolling every day, and a walking security officer inside our store for not only the safety of our associates, but also of our customers. And, you know, in closing, I know that I talked with the district manager of TOPS, the location that has decided to transition out of this area, and a lot of that decision was predicated on the external elements that can come with grazing and the loss of product out of the store. Obviously, these individuals are in need, and we do a lot to give back to the community through the Salvation Army and Feeding America, and we just need to see some action, not only from Ithaca, but also Tompkins County, to try to get something in motion to make a more conducive environment for our business.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments, either in the audience or via Zoom? Anyone that would like to speak on privilege of the floor? Diane Cohen is here from the Reuse Center. Hi, Diane.
Could we just ask what store was...
Yeah. Yes, what's... are they on? They are from Walmart.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you could see our video or not.
We cannot.
Okay, yeah, so we had a backdrop and everything, a big spark. It was monumental, but.
Thank you, Lucas.
All right, great. Can you hear me?
We can.
Great, thanks, Shauna. Hello, everyone. I'm here, I'm Diane Cohen. I'm the executive director of Finger Lakes Reuse. We operate two reuse centers here in Tompkins County. I'm here to invite each of you to the first ever New York State Reuse Summit. That will take place in Tompkins County on June 16th to help continue to build the emerging reuse industry as an effective materials management system that creates living wage jobs, provides training opportunities, and benefits local economies. This reuse summit is being organized and coordinated by Syracuse University's Center for Sustainable Community Solutions with support from Finger Lakes Reuse and CROWD, who I think you might know, Circularity, Reuse, and Zero Waste Development. It's an active group here. I'm extremely proud that we were asked to host this first ever statewide event, and I'm also excited about the recognition our pioneering work has been receiving, which helped create this opportunity to share the work we've been doing. Finger Lakes Reuse was originally formed because Tompkins County committed to developing a reuse center as part of its 20-year solid waste management plan back in the 1990s, and as a result is a unique expression of this community. A group including leaders from Tompkins County, Cooperative Extension, Cornell University, Ithaca College, and TC3 published a report as a result of that planning back in 2006, including results of surveys to college students and large and small businesses, and observations of the drop-offs at the county's transfer station's tipping floor. One of the recognitions that we've recently received at Finger Lakes Reuse is one that I'm most proud of from the Alcohol and Drug Council of Tompkins County for Recovery-Friendly Employer of the Year. I was speaking with Executive Director Angela Sullivan last week, who said something that's really stuck with me, especially as we look around at the social challenges we're facing. Angela said, the antidote to addiction is not treatment, it's connection. And connection is what a diverse and growing community of people are finding in our community reuse centers. It also combats our workers, our shoppers, our program participants. Reuse is not just a solution to reduce waste. It also combats the threats of climate change by reducing harmful emissions and fossil fuel use in the production and transport of the goods we consume. And the organization models respectful, inclusive, and anti-racist environment. Perhaps the most overlooked but immediate and profound local impact is how reuse effectively combats isolation and offers pathways to quality careers, healing, and self-empowerment. So thank you to Tompkins County for being a leader in this exciting and unique 14-year project. I'm proud to be a part of it with you, and we are looking forward to continuing to grow our efforts in partnership with Tompkins County. We hope to see you at the Reuse Summit at Cinemopolis on June 16th, and we'll be sending out invitations and press releases with more details shortly. So thank you.
Thank you, Diane. We appreciate it. Any other comments for public comment this evening? Okay. If you guys are heading out, we just want to say thank you for coming and joining us today, and a congratulations from all of us. Okay, next we are going to move on to privilege of the floor for municipal officials. And, we do have Patrick Mayer. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, everyone. Patrick Mayer, Fourth Ward Councilperson for the City of Ithaca. I have a very brief report just from Common Council for things that might be applicable to all of you. We received the new city redistricting lines from Chair Hank DeLay of the Redistricting Commission or Committee. I know he's going to present to you guys at some point soon. Only real action items that we've moved on, we have accepted definition for climate crisis community through our sustainability director, Luis, and we recently passed, which will take effect September, an ordinance that will require all employers with more than four employees in the City of Ithaca to post their salaries. There's more about that in 5.1 if you look in our agenda from this past meeting. Besides that, the Stewart Avenue Bridge project was approved. I know Rich isn't here, and I'll send him a thing, but for all the folks interested in the Cecil Malone Bridge, that's fully approved and done. It went through CA last month and went through council earlier this week. And then besides that, we had a committee of the whole last week on Wednesday in which we addressed processes with reimagining public safety as well as the community justice center and what the city was looking for in terms of feedback. I know Acting Mayor Laura Lewis is meeting with you guys separately about that. but we discussed it as council and gave her all of our feedback. But I'm more than happy to answer any questions from anybody at the county ledge and get you any answers I can.
Thank you, Patrick. Any questions for Patrick in the city of Ithaca? Wow. I don't see any hands. This might be a first.
Well, if you have any more, George McGonigal will be with you all the first Tuesday in June.
Okay, we're probably saving all of our questions for George. You got off easy tonight, Patrick.
That works for me. Thank you all so much.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, next is legislator, privilege of the floor. Mike Lane, then Ann Corman.
Buffalo is a great city. I graduated from a university there. The people of Buffalo are great people. They love their sports teams, their builds, their Bisons. They love their art museums. They love their educational institutions. They don't deserve what happened this week. This is the second time for us here in this part of upstate New York in the past decade or so where minority people have been murdered senselessly. It was the immigrants in Binghamton, and now the African Americans and others in Buffalo while they were shopping for their groceries. Apparently, the alleged perpetrator here is an 18-year-old. We had the honor tonight of seeing some young people, maybe a little younger than 18, maybe some of them 18, who have done us proud, done their communities proud. But there are young people that are susceptible to the evils of our electronic society. They are sucked in by trolls, sucked in by conspiracy theorists who preach lies and try to blame somebody else, try to scapegoat somebody else. It's not what we are about. And it has to stop. How we do that, I don't know. It's a mental illness. It's these young, in this case, a white supremacist, 18 years old. How can you be a white supremacist except to do things that mimic the worst things in our society? White supremacy is a lie. This latest thing that I'd never even heard of, this replacement theory, which is nonsense, is simply trying to say what happens naturally in America, which is assimilation, is some kind of a grand conspiracy. What a bunch of nonsense and what a huge lie something like that is. I guess you could say I am an assimilist, because I believe that whether we like it or not, we will assimilate, and people will do what's natural to them. They'll love who they want to love, no matter what anybody has to say about it, whether it's religion, whether it's society, whether it's the evil conspiracists. It will happen. While we may be multicultural, we are one nation, and we have to remember that. And we have to say, when something like this happens, stop. We have a Supreme Court that is oiling the skids by some of its most recent pronouncements, whether it's on gun control, whether it's on corporate personhood, and now whether it's on women's rights. We have to work together peacefully but strongly. We can't let this go on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Ann Corman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your words, Mike. I'm just going to clarify for myself a couple of things and add a little bit. Since you mentioned the assimilation, according to Britannica and my understanding of it also, the process whereby individuals or groups of differing ethnic heritage are absorbed into the dominant culture of a society, which involves taking on the traits of the dominant culture to such a degree that the assimilating group becomes socially indistinguishable from the other members of society. I'm just thinking nowadays perhaps not exactly what you meant, but
That's what I'm talking about.
I just want to make sure that just to clarify then that, you know, at Tompkins County, we respect different cultures, we respect different races, and I wanted to just talk about the victims a little bit in more detail. That Saturday, while people age 20 to 86 were shopping at a grocery store just a couple hundred miles from here, They were assaulted, 10 of them, all black. All 10 people who perished were black. And I want to say their names here so we don't forget them. Roberta Drury, Margus Morrison, Andre McNeil, Aaron Salter, Geraldine Talley, Celestine Cheney, Hayward Patterson, Catherine Massey, Pearl Young, and Ruth Whitfield. And I grieve with their families, and my heart goes out to them and to the county, to the city, to their families, to black people everywhere. This was a hate crime. It was made to instill fear. And I can't imagined to understand what it was like, but I do know, as a gay person, when gay people are killed, it affects me deeply, and so my hearts go out to my fellow legislators, employees, members of Tompkins County, because I know this affects a lot of us, and it should affect all of us. We shouldn't expect people of color to stand up and change things. And as Mike said about white supremacy, it's our duty, it's everybody's duty to help fight it in every way we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Travis Brooks, or I'm sorry, Veronica Pillar, Travis Brooks, and then Veronica.
You know, I had some things that I was going to say tonight, and I don't necessarily feel that I have to. I really appreciate my colleagues speaking up, out, and against. I feel supportive. I know others do that are listening. So that's very, it feels good knowing that my colleagues are, you know, on top of this as much as I am. It's exhausting. It's the world that I live in. It's the world that my kids and family and so many of my friends live in. But I want to thank you all for speaking up. It's very important, because often in spaces and places, I feel like if I don't speak, nobody else will. So to have you all speak before I did, it just means a lot. So thank you.
Thank you, Travis. Veronica Pillar and then Amanda Champion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mike, for bringing this up and your words, and thank you, Annie, especially for yours and especially for reading the names, and thank you, Travis, as well. I wanted to add a little bit more to what folks have said about the the violent tragedy, hate crime in Buffalo. First, as everyone has said, this was a hate crime, a racist hate crime, motivated, well, I can't say motivated by what, but I can say that the person who did this drove all the way from Binghamton to Buffalo to find a place, to find a supermarket full of predominantly black people and target them specifically. Most of the people who were shot were black. Most of those who died were older as well, feels worth noting in light of it being Older Americans Month. And the supermarket itself is in the middle of a food desert, so this is really like there are so many layers of the way this is traumatizing to the community, not only the loss of life and injuries and loss of community members, but this scary, traumatic, horrible incident around the place where people get their food, place where people get jobs, place where people pick up meds. That's awful what it does to a place. Though I do want to highlight, I don't have names on the tip of my tongue, but I'm aware of a lot of mutual aid going on in Buffalo and from surrounding places to this community. And that's makes me really happy to see. I think it's also worth noting that this great replacement theory or conspiracy theory, which I wasn't familiar with either, that the killer espoused is, it's easy to think of it that of something that comes in the margins, on the fringes, in the bowels of the internet, discussed among a bunch of trolls in people's basements, which I guess it does, but it's also, it's mainstream. You hear folks on, like, some of the big four news channels, or I don't know if it's still big four or whatever, bringing some of these same ideas that somehow there's some conspiracy out there to replace white folks, which there really is not. And I think when we talk about stepping up to try to prevent this kind of thing in the future, I think part of it is taking very, very seriously the danger of these kind of hateful ideas, even if they seem to be expressed in a space, in a place that seems kind of like a joke, that's like, oh, just someone commenting on the internet. They extremely literally can kill people if left to spread, if left unsquashed. And I'm going to try to be more vigilant, and I hope we all will. On a totally unrelated note, today is also election day for a bunch of school districts. I voted on my way here, as maybe you can see. Polls are open until 9, so if you are watching and haven't voted, please do. You can always catch us on YouTube if you have to miss the meeting.
Thank you, Veronica. Amanda Champion, and then Rich John.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to all my colleagues who have said something so far this evening. I'm not going to comment on gun violence. It's just too painful, and But I am going to just make an interesting connection that came up to me in the past couple of days. I'm currently reading The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead, and if you have not read this book, please read this book. It is a novel, but it is based on reality, although there is one particularly large fantastical element. But essentially the main character escapes her horrible slavery youth and proceeds along the Underground Railroad trying to get to the North. And each chapter is kind of a account of when she gets to a new state and what happens to her there. And of course it's some new atrocity. So anyway, I'm up to the part where she gets to North Carolina, and basically, you know, again, it's a novel, but I believe, you know, a lot of the things that I have heard from real life are captured in this book. And in North Carolina, what happens is that she get stuck in someone's attic because the white people are all very scared. There is a family who's hiding her, but they basically, in North Carolina, this was about 1850, at this time, they were so afraid that the black people would rise up against them and retaliate because there literally were more people of color than white people, and they knew that they were doing something horrific, and if they emancipated the slaves, then the slaves would take over and, you know, destroy the white society. And hearing this week about this replacement theory, I just feel like this was 170 years ago, and it feels like we haven't gotten anywhere. If white people are still scared that people of color are going to rise up against us and take over our culture, I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling to me. The other part that this woman in the story also experienced was, which relates to things that we all talked about 2 weeks ago at this meeting, was the white societal idea that they needed to control black women's bodies and they needed to control the reproduction of black people's because there were getting to be so many that they were scared. So part of what she goes through in the story is that, you know, the doctors, the white doctors who were so-called trying to help her, are encouraging her to have surgery that will, you know, not enable her to ever have children. So you can all draw whatever conclusions you want from what I'm saying. I highly recommend this book, The Underground Railroad, and I do hope that, I don't know, in speaking and talking to each other and reading books and writing books and sharing information that we can somehow progress forward together to a better place.
Thank you, Amanda. Rich, John?
I'm going to take my mask off just for a moment. Thanks, everybody, for your comments. I won't belabor them. I would just add, though, that we've talked about it before, some reassessment of how we deal with guns in our society is long overdue. The idea that we can't have any restriction on military-type weapons and high-capacity magazines. This legislature has, in the recent past, voted to support hunting and has made some very common sense changes to our local laws to allow hunters to hunt. And I feel no guilt about that at all. But if there was any way we could do something about just the craziness of the amount of guns in our society and the gun culture that lionizes shooting them, we'd really be better off. You know, there are countries comparable in society to the United States that just don't have the gun violence that we have. Canada, you know, is our near neighbor and doesn't seem to have this problem. We could get there if we had the will to do it. I also wanted to take a moment to just amplify the presentation we had at our last meeting for the communication system that we're adding or converting over to in the county, Siren. TompkinsCountyNY.gov/Siren. If you didn't see the presentation last meeting, this is our new notification system. It has some real upgrades, and you should stop procrastinating and go sign up for the ones you want to get. Then on a far more positive note, I wanted to note that last week I was very fortunate to go to the graduation for College Initiative Upstate, and I'd like to just talk for a moment about that program and the tremendous good it does in our community. College Initiative Upstate is designed for people who have really struggled either with criminal matters, jail, prison, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, mental health issues, and providing them real support to kind of reboot the educational element of their lives. And this has been going on for the last, I'd say 6 to 8 years with tremendous success. This last week, there were 10 graduates, and College Initiative Upstate does college prep, where they do some basic educational programming with math, with reading and writing, and really just letting these people know what to expect in the college environment. TC3 does just a wonderful job supporting this program and providing entree for the people who graduate. College Initiative Upstate provides support while they go to college. And if you look at the program and the success rate, it is tremendous. I don't have the percentage in front of me, but it's close to 90% of the people that enter graduate with a degree from college. You know, it's just amazing to me that this program hasn't caught fire in other communities, but we are so fortunate that it's here in ours. And I wanted to give a big shout out to OAR, which sponsors the people who work at College Initiative Upstate, and Benay Rubenstein, the director, Dave Sanders, the executive director of OAR, Chuck Bechtold, who I worked with years ago at TC3, and Sarah Wolf, who make it run. So thank you very much, and keep going.
Thank you, Rich. Anyone else for privilege of the floor for legislators? Okay. I'm going to give my chair's report. I want to thank our health department's WIC team for their work helping families navigate the infant formula shortage. More information is going to be shared with the public in the upcoming days, but I did want to make sure that we acknowledge the work of Michelle Hall and her team. They are committed to helping every family that calls and have been successful at supporting different ways to find formula for our county's babies. This is a heartbreaking issue across the country, and I hope that the federal and state governments are going to work harder to address the shortage. Wanted to congratulate Sheriff Osborne and his team for their progress on the unarmed pilot program. One of our reimagining plans that we've put forward. A month from now, our sheriff's clerks will be on staff, and later this summer, the program will launch, addressing 7 different types of calls in a new way without armed deputies needed on the scene for every call. Their start date is going to be June 13th, and they are looking to go live July 5th. I'm also looking forward to having some updates from the sheriff on how the program is going. If you have not read Frank's mental health op-ed, I believe we all received it in an email today. I would encourage all of you to do so. It is a reminder of how important the work of mental health and public health is and the ways that we can address mental health issues throughout our community. Thank you to the Office of the Aging staff for hosting a wonderful and welcoming open house last week. I appreciate how committed the COFA staff is in getting the word out about our programs and resources. I also would like to take a moment to acknowledge the tragic racist shooting in Buffalo this past weekend. I wish I could say it was unimaginable, but it's one in a string of many hate crimes done in the name of white supremacy. The pattern has to stop. I know we all shared the horror when news broke, and as we learned that the criminal was from the Southern Tier, having sought a neighborhood that was majority black in Western New York to target. We all have a role to play in addressing hate, gun violence, teaching tolerance, and protecting people of color in our community and in our region. Equity and justice aren't just something we put on paper. It has to be done through our actions and commitments here and across our state and our country. Next, we are going to move on to our reports by staff. County Administrator Lisa Holmes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just have a
few brief updates this evening, starting with a very brief just update on COVID. Based on our local numbers, we'll likely still be in what's considered a high transmission area this week as defined by the CDC. So the recommendations for masking indoors will stay in place. Excuse me. Excuse me. And then on that same note, there is, we understand some uncertainty around the continued availability of reimbursement for testing by FEMA as of July 1st. We are monitoring that situation closely and will be putting some figures together and coming back through the legislature with some options coming up. Sorry, I don't know what's in my throat. One moment.
Yeah. Lisa, do you want us to come back to you?
This should pass.
Okay.
I would think. It always does, but I don't know why it just struck me now. Okay. So we'll be coming back in the month of June to give you some figures and estimates. I have one more thing. If I can just spit it out, I'd love to just spit it out and be done. Some good news I wanted to share is that after a search process, we've made an offer to our candidate for budget director. And goodness, I'm all choked up. And I'm pleased to announce that Norma Jane will be joining the county or rejoining the county as of May 31st. I don't know if anyone around the circle was here, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Mike and Lee. Norma did work for the county for many years in a very similar role, working with the budget, and she's very familiar with the county departments and services, so we're glad to be having her rejoin our team. I'll end it there.
Thank you, Lisa. I hope you're not getting sick on us. You and I are the unicorns together that haven't. We might be the only two people in the county that haven't had COVID. Okay. Next, let's go to the county attorney, Bill Troy.
I really have nothing of merit to speak of tonight. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's see here. Director of Finance. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Microphone.
Curious what the status is on the opioid lawsuit where we haven't received our funds yet, I guess. And is there anything
I am
else?
Not familiar with that.
We've not received them yet. We'd heard from NYSAC that we would be receiving them in March, and we have not received them yet.
Is there? I read something about there's another class action lawsuit. Is New York involved in that one as well, or?
There are several, and there are expected to be funds coming from the multiple lawsuits in kind of a staggered fashion. So what we had expected to get in March was about equivalent to $180,000 for two of the lawsuits.
And so are we focused on what to do with those funds if and when we get them? Or?
Yes, and we're yes. We are awaiting clarification because certain, depending upon which suit, they are subject to different regulations. So we've been waiting to try to get clarification on what those regulations are, and that has not yet been forthcoming.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Lisa? Okay. Any questions for Bill Troy? Okay. Hi, Rick. Welcome to the legislature.
Thank you very much.
appreciate the time to be able to bring two items to you tonight under the Finance Director's Report. I'd like to give you a brief staffing update. We finished our interviews for Financial Accounts Payable Clerk and have selected a candidate, made an offer, and just like Lisa said, they were pleased to have an offer accepted, as we had our offer accepted yesterday. So we will be employing Heidi McCann starting on May 31st in a financial accounts payable position in finance. That vacancy has been open for a long, long time, and we're very pleased to bring this employee on board. We are also conducting interviews this week for the Director of Accounting Services, and we should be wrapping those up midweek and hopefully making a selection on that vacancy that has been there for over a month now since Joanne Carruthers left. And so at that point, should we be able to fill that vacancy in short order, we'll be fully staffed.
That's great news. Thank you.
And the second item you'll see in your agenda tonight, I've included a report for you on our upcoming county auction. So if you would turn to that in your packet, it starts on page 7 or page 8. I'm not going to go through all the notes. I've included the two spreadsheets that show a group of residential properties that is being foreclosed upon and subject to auction, and there is a list of vacant properties. So let me introduce to you the residential ones. We've had a few sell, or not sell, but become redeemed in the last week since I penned this memo. And I'm glad to bring you some updated numbers. Instead of 7 residential properties, we're down to just 6 residential properties. And instead of 11 vacant or commercial properties, we're down to just 7 of those. So our grand total for foreclosure auction properties is down from 18 to the number 13. That's one of the lower numbers that we've ever had to take to auction. It's about representative of where we were last year. And some of you are on the Government Operations Committee. Darby brought to them at their last meeting the Planning Department's recommendations to remove some parcels from the auction. And my notes in the midsection of this memo tell you about what those parcels that they've recommended for withholding. There's only one that they're asking to withhold to protect wetland areas and to allow cleanup of a tire dump, and that was passed by the GO committee. They also recommended a selling of a particular parcel at the auction, but only subject to certain conditions. And those conditions on this property in the town of Caroline.
Rick, we can't hear you. Still can't hear you. No.
Mike or Travis, can you try speaking in? We can't hear Mike either.
We can't hear anyone right now. Still can't hear you. Hold one second. This is kind of comical for all of us.
They're working on it upstairs. I'll get an update.
Okay. We're trying to figure it out.
That's a pretty picture, but I don't think it's an Ithaca Gorge.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to wait because we can't move to consent or anything because we would need to hear them for their vote.
I can tell everybody in the room that there are some free tomato seedlings in the back room. Help yourselves.
Oh, nice. Thanks, Dan.
What kind of tomatoes?
So there's four or five different varieties, and they're labeled. But I didn't write the labels, and so you'll have to decipher what they mean. You might have to do a little bit of Googling.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Free? Yeah. Wow. Oh, okay. We have to bring in a certain 40% of the tomatoes by weight, or is that by number?
Rick, can you try again?
Sure. How about now?
Yeah, we're good.
You can hear it in the legislative chambers?
Yes, we can.
Very good. Did you hear me talk about the one parcel that we're withholding from the foreclosure to protect wetland areas?
Yes, we did.
Okay, then did you hear me about selling one parcel with a restriction? And that restriction is, since the property has access crossing old railroad bed, the current owner of the railroad bed requests this condition be added that an easement be required to cross the railroad bed. The GL committee adopted that as a go-ahead and sell, but with that restriction. And then the final three parcels that were withheld were carryovers from previous fiscal years. Two of those properties, one in Freeville and one in Newfield, were stormwater management parcels that we've been trying to work out agreements with the municipalities and the people that live there to take over those parcels. So we're still on a holding pattern as the planning department strives to get some kind of relationship working so that those folks will be able to take over the management of those parcels. And there's one other parcel in Freeville that includes 360 feet of Fall Creek, and the county is working with village officials there in Freeville to allow them to obtain ownership of that village for the protection of Fall Creek. So that was Darby's report at the last GO committee meeting, and all planning and sustainability department recommendations were approved. The remainder of my comments on this tonight is just to let you know that along with the spreadsheets that I included for you that show the vacant and residential properties, I also included all the notes that we have in our files on everything from the number of notices that we've given, the signed certified mail that was either returned or not returned, various communications we made with property owners, comments that we've received during our property tour at the end of April as we posted the property, either from neighbors or from property owners, comments that we obtained from property owners who had either complaints or they had certain hardships. But we try to keep a file. That wasn't done when I first got here, but I knew that it was good to keep an ongoing file of every little comment that we could on each property, because we try to handle each one effectively with the hopes that we don't have to foreclose and auction any properties. It's always our goal to make sure that, especially residential properties, that no one loses their property due to delinquent taxes. And that's why we have installment agreements, which one of these tonight that was removed that brought their residential properties, vacant properties, the totals down from that higher number was because we got them to sign an installment agreement. So our staff worked very hard. I want to thank Drew Brayman for being in charge of the property tour this year with the auctioneer. I want to thank Darby for going along and helping out on that tour. And it was a big success, and they were able to notice all the properties according to the legal requirements. My last comment is that we send foreclosure proceedings, and I mentioned this at the committee level, to the towns and villages for the clerks to post these foreclosures, and we also send it to each town supervisor. That happened on October 3rd, 2021. We also published a foreclosure notice in two newspapers three times each. So the last day for the redemption of any of these properties was yesterday, May 16th, and now we're at that place that we submit a court order authorizing the transfer of ownership to the county. All property owners in the foreclosure were sent final notices via U.S. mail on December 20th, 2021, and they were given written notices during our property tour at the end of April, and that is where we let them know that the last day to pay is May 16th. So if you're looking to come to the auction, that will be on Monday, June 13th, and it's always kind of eye-opening if you've never been to an auction and need to see how it's done. A lot of times people think, well, that property's not going to sell. What happens if the county can't? We look back in the records. There's not a time we haven't sold a property at county auction that we can find going back in the records. So we will be selling these properties at auction. And if you'd like to come, that starts at 7 o'clock on June 13th. I'll take any questions you might have about this, and that completes my report.
Randy Brown.
Thank you, Rick. What happens if the property sells for more than what is owed in taxes? Does the county get all the funds?
County gets all the funds.
Thank you.
And all lien, in case there's people interested on debts, liens, and defects against the property. The properties are all sold as is. The county makes no assumption of anything on the properties. The properties are totally sold as is, and the debts, liens, and mortgages are obliterated. They're completely absolved. They're done away with.
Thank you, Rick. Next, we have Mike Lane and then Lee Shurtleff.
Rick, thanks for that report about the foreclosure properties. I'm very proud of the work that your department does and the planning department does. We are an outstanding county because we work so hard through your efforts to make sure that we don't foreclose on a property if there's any way around it. If there's any way of getting the taxes paid. Unlike some counties, I mean, to say that we only have 6 residential properties currently on the list is totally amazing. I think if you look at counties around the state where there are scores and scores of properties on their foreclosure lists, you can see what we accomplish here. And I just wanted to say thank you to you and all of your staff, Drew, and everybody else. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lee Shurtleff.
Just a question for Rick and a comment. The question is there a minimum bid on these, or is it an absolute auction that whatever is bid is bid and it sells?
It's an absolute auction.
Thanks, Rick. And just an acknowledgement, and I want to thank Rick and his staff for their patience and response to questions I've had with properties in my district, and I applaud his office for what they do to try to get the properties redeemed, and for their transparency. This is a lot of detail, and I appreciate that the public is able to see that. And I echo Mike's comments. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
Any other questions for Rick Snyder? Okay, I don't see any. Thank you, Rick.
Hey, thank you very much. Hopefully next time I can introduce a new director of accounting services.
That would be great. Thank you, Rick. Are there any resolutions to be added or withdrawn from our agenda? None. Let's move on to the consent agenda. resolutions and appointments to be voted on as a group unless any member of the legislature requires that a resolution or appointment be instead included separately and individually as a part of the business of standing or special committees. We have two advisory board appointments, Government Operations Committee, Historical Commission, Susan Holland, member, term expires December 31st, 2024. Board of Assessment Review, Michael Cannon, member, term expires September 30th, 2026. Health and Human Services, Resolution A, authorization to accept funds, execute contract, create positions, and budget adjustment, perinatal and infant community health collaborative grant, Health Department ID 10921, resolution.
Can you pull that one?
Sure can. Resolution B, reappropriation of funding received in 2021 and 2022, budget from the Park Foundation, public hearing, ID 10920. If I can have a mover for the consent, moved by Amanda
health,
Champion.
Public health, I think that was, not public hearing.
Oh, it is public health. Thank you, Mike. If I can have a seconder, please, seconded by Veronica Pillar. And let's do a roll call.
Craig Massey?
Yes.
Veronica Pillar?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, zero noes.
Thank you, Kathy. Next, we are going to move on to the Standing and Special Committees. Health and Human Services Committee, Dan Klein, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How about we start with the resolution that was pulled, Resolution A, authorization to accept funds, execute contract, create positions, and budget adjustment, perinatal and infant community health collaborative grant, Health Department. So move.
Can I have a second, please? Second by Veronica Pillar.
I think there was a question about the numbers adding up. Is that?
Yeah, it's just, it says in the second line of whereas 255,000, and then I wasn't sure the numbers adding up at the bottom.
Yeah, so the difference between the 255,000 and the amount being spent this year is just because the grant is taking effect now, so it's prorated for just part of the year. And those numbers at the bottom do add up to the amount that's being expended this year.
Just wondering if we could somehow make note of that. If somebody's looking at this later, they might have the same question.
Sure. Can you help me find the packet page?
Packet page 13.
Thank you. Should we add a little clause somewhere that says to fund a partial, you know, to prorated for the rest of 2022, something like that?
Yeah, just wondering, what do you think about in the first whereas New York State, blah blah blah, 255 per year, comma prorated for this year, and then comma again, or unless you have somewhere else that it would look good to put it in.
I mean, that works for me if that seems to be make.
Is that Amanda?
I'm suggesting an amendment.
Okay. Amanda?
I would just move that a little bit to say, has awarded Tompkins County a $255,000 per year grant for 5 years, comma, prorated for 2022.
I like that better.
Comma.
Would you withdraw and you would like to make an amendment?
Sure. I mean.
Yeah, because mine wasn't seconded. So I'll second Amanda's.
Okay. Is that friendly?
Well, I'm the...
Oh, you were the
mover. It's very friendly because Amanda has a professional editing
that's
service.
That's true.
So
she's a friendly
just
person.
Some pro bono work.
Okay.
I hope that's not an ethics violation.
We'll see her bill.
Yeah, yeah. 50 cents maybe.
Okay. Okay.
Did Kathy or Brittany got that change? Okay.
Yes. Okay. Any questions for Dan on this resolution?
Thanks for looking into that, Dan.
Sure thing.
Okay, let's do a roll call vote.
Greg Muzzy?
Yes.
Veronica Pillar?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Grandison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes. Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to give our committee report now. The Health and Human Services Committee met yesterday, May 16th. We spent almost the entire 2 hours discussing homelessness in Tompkins County. There's a group of individuals that is pitching an idea to both the city and the county to construct 25 cabins on city-owned land behind Walmart to house up to 50 people on a temporary basis until more permanent housing for them can be secured. Each cabin would have electricity and heat, and there would be a central bathhouse and meeting space. The site would have 24/7 supervision. The project is currently called Tides, the Ithaca Dedicated Encampment Site. The county would not necessarily be asked to change the way that we currently deliver services to residents of encampments, but having a centralized, supervised indoor facility might make for an easier and more effective way for county staff to interact with clients. What would be required from the county is some amount of funding. An early estimate of costs is approximately $1.5 million for construction and $1 million annually for operations. It is not immediately clear who would be paying what. The conversation went on for an hour and 15 minutes. The impression that I got from the legislators who spoke is one of cautious support. In my opinion, the ball is back in the court of the group that's making this proposal. If this proposal is to go forward, then I think the county and the city will need to start talking with each other directly soon. We also had a presentation from the Human Services Coalition about the County Homeless Needs Assessment Report. There is an extensive document in the committee agenda packet outlining this report. There is lots of data and lots of recommendations in the report, but I think it may be fair to say that there are not many surprises. One other item to mention is that our mental health building will be leasing space on the first floor to a pharmacy designed specifically to meet the needs of individuals receiving mental health or substance use disorder services. The next meeting of the Health and Human Services Committee has been rescheduled because of the Juneteenth holiday. We will be meeting on Wednesday, June 15th at 1 o'clock, and that is my report.
Thank you, Dan. Any questions for Dan Klein? Mike Lane?
Dan, I was going to ask this question of Frank Krupa, but I don't think he's still with us here tonight. I've been getting some feedback from residents about mental health intake, having difficulty scheduling appointments, having difficulty getting responses to emails and other kinds of things. In fact, as I had one say that they got so frustrated, they called Cortland and got in right away over there. I wondered if your committee is hearing anything like that and if there's anything underway to address it.
Mike, I don't have anything on that except to remind everyone, I don't know what the time frame of these complaints is that a few months ago, I don't know exactly, remember when, January, February, something like that, our mental health department temporarily stopped taking on new clients, new patients, because we just didn't have the staffing. And my memory is that that period lasted maybe 2 months, and then we've started up again, and now we're have new intakes for new patients. So I don't know.
No, this is very recent.
Very recent. No, then I guess it would probably be best directed to Frank Krupa.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Randy Brown?
I don't have any questions, but I'd like to talk about the homelessness report by the Human Service Coalition. I thought it was very well done, and I encourage everybody to read it. There were some things that surprised me, Dan,
okay.
Just because I'm not educated about it. But what I when I read that, I feel like building buildings you know, for people to live is a temporary solution. I think we need a strategy on how to deal with homeless people. But there was interesting things there, like primarily the majority of people that couldn't find permanent housing were male. And one of the bright spots I saw in the report was that women and women with children quickly got homes much quicker, which is great. But I think it, just looking at that report and talking about it with some strategy, just building the buildings is not going to, it's a very temporary solution. But I think that I'd like to understand more on what outfits like REACH and other people are truly doing, and I'd be willing to put time together with anybody else. The continuum of care, all the acronyms confuse me. I had to write them down and go back and see what they meant, but I did do that. I'd like to be educated more about that, and I will. So thanks.
Thank you, Randy. Any other questions or comments for Dan Klein in Health and Human Services? Okay. Thank you, Dan. Next is the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have not had a meeting of the committee since our last legislature meeting. We will be meeting this Thursday, May 19th at 9 o'clock a.m. And I have some resolutions to proceed with. If there are any questions, I'll take them, of course.
Any questions for Mike Lane? Okay, I see none.
Let's go to Resolution C to amend the capital program for the Cortlandt Street Bridge replacement in the town of Groton. I so move.
Okay, just a reminder, too, this needs a two-thirds vote. Lee Shurtleff will second. Mike, would you like to talk to this resolution?
Well, sure. This is the bridge in pretty near the center of the village of Groton. And what we're trying to do is move it up a year, get it started even sooner. It was on our five-year capital plan to start in 2023, but there's some funds available, and we'd like to start the planning for it for this year.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions for Mike or comments? Okay, I see none. Let's do a roll call vote.
Greg Mezzi?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
And since that passed, we can go on with Resolution D, authorization to execute a contract with Barton and LeJudis DPC for design services for replacement of the Cortlandt Street Bridge over Owasco Inlet, town of Groton. And I so move.
Seconded by Lee Shurtleff. Would you like to tell us about this resolution, Mike?
Well, this is just hiring the engineers to begin the planning and design work for the bridge.
Okay. Any questions or comments for Mike? Okay, I see none. Let's do a roll call.
Greg Mezzi?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
Okay. Mike, would you like to do the other two?
I have Resolution E, appropriation from contingent fund and budget adjustment, weights and measures.
If I can have a seconder, please. Seconded by Randy Brown.
This is carryover basically from last year. Remember our weights and measures department, and Aaron Becker is here tonight, by the way, is a one-person operation, and there was some illness last year that didn't let some of the work happen, so we now have to replace it out of contingency.
Thank you. Any questions for Mike Lane or Aaron? I see none. Let's vote.
Greg Mezzi?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
And the last resolution I have tonight is establishment of an off-airport automobile rental company permit basically system, Ithaca Tompkins International Airport, and I so move.
Seconded by Greg Muzzy.
And I would point out that Roxanne Noble is here for questions as well. This is to set up a permit system for those car rental companies that don't have offices at the airport, and to try to make it a more even competition with the three car rental services that are located at the airport.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions for Roxanne or Mike? Okay, I see none. Let's go ahead and vote.
Greg Muzzy?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
Great. Thank you. And thank you, Mike, for your report this evening.
Thanks to Aaron and Roxanne for being here.
Great. Any other questions for Mike Lane? Okay. Government Operations Committee, Amanda Champion, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Government Operations met a couple weeks ago, Thursday, May 5th. And a lot of the things we discussed are on the agenda tonight, a couple of resolutions. But a couple other things I wanted to mention is just a reminder to legislators. If you want to attend a conference this year with your conference funds, please come let me know, and we'll get you on the schedule at Government Operations. Veronica Piller came to our meeting. She would like to go to the Facing Race Conference, which I believe is in the fall. So we had a brief conversation about that. And we do have conference funds for folks to use. Coming up in a couple of months, I can't believe it's already May, our clerks are going to ask if you still have funds left over, if you intend to use them later in the year, or if you will release them to the general pool and we can, other people can use the funds. So just keep that in your mind. If you do have conferences you want to go to, come to GO and we'll talk about it. We had a really nice presentation from Teresa Vatican and the other department heads from the Tompkins County Public Library. They gave us sort of a quick rundown of how things have changed since COVID. Things are opening back up and more people are using the library. It's open more hours, and it's great to see all the good work that they're doing. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, we did have a discussion, preliminary discussion, about the possible property tax exemption for volunteer firefighters and ambulance workers. And Jay Franklin was there from our assessment department. We asked a lot of questions. Jay asked us a lot of questions, which we didn't really have answers for. But in the end, the committee did ask Jay to move forward, get us some further information, and come back to us with a little bit more of a defined possibility that we could react to more clearly. So I guess I would recommend going back and watching that part of the meeting if you want to know more about that. So it will come back up at GO, probably not next month, but at some point in the future. So if there are questions, I will take them. Otherwise, we'll do the resolutions.
Greg Muzzy.
I just want to echo the library presentation. That was really valuable for me, and I think some of the adult services that the library was providing. The one that stood out specifically was, and I'm looking at my notes here, was the tax preparation that they provided. And I think they had over 377 people partake in that, and I think that was a partnership with Alternatives Federal Credit Union. So I think people were making less than $57,000 per year qualified for that. which is great to see that type of service and adults really engaging in the library. And, you know, oftentimes it's not just a place for kids to learn and imagine and grow, but also for really the whole community. So really appreciated all the work that the library is doing and just sharing that great work with us, which I think needs to be spread as far and wide into the community as possible.
Thank you, Greg. Any other questions or comments for Amanda? Okay, I don't see any.
All right. Thanks, Greg, for that. The library is amazing. Okay, so Resolution G, authorizing a public hearing on local law number blank of 2022, allowing the county to continue to hold virtual public meetings, ID 10914, and I would move that.
I have a seconder, Greg Muzzy, seconds.
So just a note that this is setting a public hearing, so we can have lots of discussion tonight, and we can do it again on June 7th, or we can just wait till June 7th. But I would just point out, you should have in your red folder a updated draft of the local law that we are considering. So we did have a discussion about this at GO, and I just wanted to point out a couple of things, and thank you to Bill Troy for working on this and putting together this law and trying to answer questions. The trouble is that this is coming from the state, and they have given very little direction and very little information. So we're kind of cutting and pasting what they've given us, and we'll go from there. So if we want to do this, we need to opt in, and it would go until July 1st, 2024. So there is an end point on this. And I would just point out that the way this is written, it would not be exactly the way that it's happening right now, where somebody's traveling, if somebody's on vacation, they just don't feel like coming in this time. That won't really be a possibility. If you are well and have the ability to get to meetings, you would be still required to attend in person. If you're sick, if you have caregiving responsibilities, transportation issues, that sort of thing, then those members could still attend virtually. They would not be counted toward a quorum. Let's see, a couple other things to point out. Obviously, public would still be allowed to come via video conferencing. It must be video conferencing. It can't just be audio. And again, it would be recorded, which we're doing anyway and putting on our YouTube channel. So I think I'll stop there. I don't know if Bill has anything he wants to add.
I can tell you it is not a model of penmanship and authorship, how this thing was drafted. So we basically try to keep with what they gave us as a model as best we could.
Thank you. Questions? We have Randy Brown.
Amanda, so it won't be a quorum, but if people are on remotely, can they still vote?
I believe they can, according to this.
What?
Can they still vote if the video people... If they don't count towards the quorum, but they can still vote.
I believe so, but I have to check that again. I'm telling you,
this says that right in here.
And then I would also add, we have, as you all know, we have numerous advisory boards, and there's still some lack of clarity about which advisory boards and other boards that we are associated with, which would fall under this as well. So what Bill has done is added in bold in this document that you have, and other public bodies of the county, which are subject to open meetings law. So that it's kind of hard to know at this point which ones are and which ones aren't. This is what we've been going through for a couple of years, trying to parse that out. But so just to be safe, we've included other public bodies of the county. Hopefully that makes sense.
Thank you, Amanda. Any other questions for Amanda or Bill Troy? Okay, I see no hands. And again, we are just voting to have a, excuse me, a public hearing for this resolution. So let's do a roll call vote.
Greg Mezzi?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler? Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
Thank you.
Okay, next one is appropriation from contingent fund, County Attorney's Office, ID 10878, and I move that.
Can I have a seconder, please? Seconded by Veronica Piller.
I'm not sure there's much to say. This is just, as Bill said, at one point we were lucky enough to have two county attorneys, and we need to move some money over to cover their excellent services.
Okay.
Could he explain that, please?
There's always one troublemaker. Way to go, Mike Lane. Any other questions or comments for Bill Troy or Amanda Champion? Okay, I see none. Let's vote.
Greg Mezzi?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
Sounds like Henry got his microphone fixed, huh?
Yes.
Okay, Amanda, one more.
Okay, one more. Resolution to update the administrative policy 05-02, fiscal policy, ID 10833. And I move that.
Can I have a seconder, please? Seconded by Mike Lane.
Yeah. What, Lisa, do you want to say anything? to updated our fiscal policy. Sorry. So many of you have probably seen this as it's gone through both budget, capital, personnel, and GO. But this was an update, not a fulsome update of the whole policy, but just the section having to do with the rollover policy. And this is something that we had been considering for some time to put it more in line with the auditing practices, the general auditing practices, and we've taken some other measures in addition. We wanted to get this in front of the legislature prior to the 2023 budget process to be able to provide the departments with clear guidelines on how to prepare their budgets for 2023. And in conjunction with that, we've made some changes to the budgeting process for 2023 to help with this transition from the rollover practice. And then we do intend further along to go back and do a more thorough update of the fiscal policy. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Lisa? I see none. Let's do a roll call.
Greg Mezzi?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
I've thrown in the towel, yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
That's all I got. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Amanda? Okay. Thank you, Amanda. And next we're going to move on to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Annie Corman, Chair.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to start with our resolution, as I see we have Jackie here from the Office of Employment and Training. If if we could just take a minute to ask her to explain this exciting program they're starting.
Sure. Thanks, Annie. I do have a brief presentation, and I don't know whether or not you want to take time for that, but it essentially gives the overview of the Employment Education Series, as well as provides info about the consultants that we're working with who would facilitate the training.
Jackie, I think that was given to us in two committees.
Sure.
So you gave it in PDEC, and what was it, government operation or budget?
The budget.
So quite a few legislators. But I'm just saying that which committees that was in case somebody wants to go back and take a look at that on YouTube. But if you just want to just give like a 1 minute overview.
Yep. Okay. Sure. So essentially we see the Employment Education Series as targeting employers primarily. Throughout the course of the pandemic, we've seen a tremendous shift in the need for employers to really expand their perception of who is employable in the workplace. And we think as in addition to supporting employers in expanding who is employable, that it's going to be key for them to also be prepared for supporting those individuals in employment in their workplaces, because we have such a low unemployment rate, and because we also want to support equitable workplaces, we think it's really important that employers understand the barriers, the systemic barriers that people from different marginalized populations are facing as they both seek employment, seek hiring for employment, and also attempt to retain employment. And what we think that means is that there's a real need to shift the culture in workplaces and to have employers, managers, supervisors, HR folks, as well as frontline staff, having a much better understanding of the systemic barriers that people face so that those individuals can be successful in employment and so that employers can be successful in the work that they do, selling whatever goods, providing whatever services. And so this Employment Education Series is aimed at kind of supporting a two-way street, both for employers and for job seekers. So for many years, we focused on job readiness training programs. This supports the employer readiness training on the other side of that. And we know that this is also necessary. We're hearing from employers constantly about the challenges that they have in hiring folks and retaining staff. And this goes along with supporting, you know, again, both employers and job seekers in their success.
Thanks, Jackie, for giving us an overview. And so as far as the cost, this is a program that's estimated to cost $40,000, and they're asking the county for $20,000. So I so move that resolution.
Okay. Seconded by Greg Muzzy.
Go ahead.
Any questions or comments for Ann? Greg?
Yeah, Jackie, thanks for coming again. I had the pleasure to see this presentation twice and definitely fully support it. I would just ask that maybe you share your presentation with the clerk so that my colleagues who didn't or weren't able to see it could get a chance to see it. I think it's great that we're doing things for employers as well. I think that this is definitely needed so that we can better equip our workforce providers with the tools. One of the things I would like to see is at some point after this program, just some metrics on the success, how many people you're able to impact. So if you could just sort of put a trace calendar reminder in there to come back to us and share the successes of this, because I think there's probably a good handful of employers that need this information, and I hope that between myself and my colleagues on the legislature, we can do our part to help share this within our districts and throughout the community, because it's often those that are already aware of these topics that are taking advantage of these opportunities to further advance and learn. And I want to make sure that this type of information can get to those that really need it and need to hear this, because we definitely have opportunity within the community. So appreciate the good work that you do and just look forward to hearing about its success when it's finished.
Absolutely, Greg. We are in talks. This is something I didn't note, but we are in talks with Cornell ILR right now about helping us to collect the data that we need to in order to kind of tell the story, which also, from our perspective, will support the potential of developing this into an employer certification in the long haul.
Great. Thank you.
Ann Corman.
Thanks. And I just want to note in here, too, that the training is provided to available for nonprofit, for-profit, government employers, service providers, and job seekers. So I'm hoping that Tompkins County can somehow also take advantage of this in some way. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Any other questions or comments?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Greg. I do have the presentation from Jackie, and I will share it with legislators tomorrow.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Brittany. Any other questions, comments? Okay. I see none. Let's do a roll call vote.
Greg Nezzi?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
Thank you. And did you have any more to report this evening?
Just a little bit. We have a meeting coming up of our committee on Monday, May 23rd, and just a couple of highlights that I'm looking forward to is from Ithaca Area Economic Development. They have a direct to work initiative they're going to talk about, and also they have their new workforce staff person is hired, and we're going to get to meet them. And we'll have another update on the Tompkins County Resiliency and Recovery Plan. And also for members of the public there and legislature, Scott Doyle from our planning department is also doing a presentation on this tomorrow night. It's open to the public at 7 p.m. and you can sign up on the Tompkins County website. And then the last thing is we're going to talk about the New York State Climate Scoping Plan. Our Department of Planning is going to have some comments regarding that plan that they're going to be submitting, and our board, the Climate and Sustainable Energy, has their comments that are going to be part of our discussion, and then we're going to end with a resolution from Tompkins County declaring support for that is going to be on the table for the committee, and that's it.
Thank you, Ann. Any questions for Ann? Okay. Thank you very much. Next up is Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee. Lee Shurtleff, Vice Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be brief. Chair Deborah Dawson is on a long-awaited vacation, and in her absence, I'll give the report. The Budget and Capital Committee met last Monday the 9th, and the bulk of the meeting was dedicated to almost all of the resolutions that are on the agenda here tonight. And we have one to bring forward, resolution number K, authorizing a public hearing on proposed local law number to be filled in of 2022, a local law overriding tax levy limit for 2023, ID number 10909.
Moved by Lee Shurtleff, seconded by Mike Lane.
Similar to Amanda's report, this simply sets up a public hearing on a local law, and it enables the calculation, the information from New York State that enables the calculation of our 2022 property tax cap is not available till late summer. This allows flexibility in the budget process. Is a practice that this legislature has done for some years to look at a local law that would at least allow the county to exceed the tax cap in the budget process if necessary. And this simply establishes the hearing.
Okay.
So moved.
Thank you. Any questions or comments about the public hearing? Okay, let's do a roll call.
Greg Mezzi?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes. Great. Thank you very much, Lee. And next, if we can move on to Workforce Development or Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Henry Granison, Chair.
Yes, the committee met a number of weeks ago. We talked about the history of WDIC. We also talked about a nominating committee to nominate new members to WDIC. We also talked about the Juneteenth week and what plans we have for that. And then we had a Team JEDI update. And that's about it.
Okay. Any questions for Henry? Mike Lane?
Hi, Henry. I just wondered what kind of things you're thinking about for Juneteenth celebration.
We have a speaker who wrote a book on Juneteenth. And we also are planning a luncheon to do that, to celebrate Juneteenth. And that's about it. But we're always looking for new ideas. We're looking to combine with other groups on Juneteenth. But we're not going to be as big as last year, but we're going to still do stuff.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay.
Henry, do you happen to know if there's anything planned for Gay Pride in June as well?
Yes, we are working on a resolution. I have to talk to Ken Clark to see what he has planned. I know the DIA is having a Pride Week through the city, which we're going to promote. But that's about it right now.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Henry? Okay, thanks for the report, Henry.
Thank you.
Next is the Public Safety Committee, Rich John, Chair.
Thank you, Shauna. The Public Safety Committee will be meeting this Thursday, May 19th at 3 o'clock here in Chambers. We are going to have various items coming before us. I believe we're going to have an update on reimagining public safety. I anticipate some conversation about mental health services at the jail. Veronica, I've asked if you might help provide us with some information on fentanyl testing and Narcan. That's about it.
Any questions for Rich John, public safety? Okay.
One other thing, to provide the information, our jail count today is 41, no board outs. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Any individual filed resolutions? Nope. And we have minutes from our previous meeting, May 3rd, 2022. Can I have a mover, please? Moved by Amanda Champion, seconded by Ann Corman. And are there any questions or comments? Changes? Okay, I see none. Let's do a roll call for the minutes. Greg Mezzi?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes. Okay. And can I have a mover to go into executive session for...
Question first.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
I wanted to ask Lisa, and I didn't think to do it during her report. Had an employee ask me today, will there be an Ithaca Festival parade, and will Tompkins County have a presence in the parade?
That's a great question, and one we haven't considered in probably two or more years. So
exactly.
There is a parade.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That's the first answer.
Dom wants to answer too.
There is a parade, and the health and mental health departments are putting together a group, but there's not a wider county group at this time. I just learned that that was something that public information did years ago. That was not included
not
in
that
the onboarding.
Think of how many years will go by, and we'll just say other duties that we forgot to tell you about.
Well, that, I would certainly like to see it if that can happen.
Bye.
Thank you, John.
Okay, so Mike Lane is going to head up the parade committee for the county.
Thank you, Mike. I'll parade.
Rich John?
What's the date of the parade? Anybody know?
4th.
June 4th is what Dan Klein said.
Thank you.
June 2nd.
Oh, June 2nd. Okay. Mark your calendars. If I can have a mover to go into executive session for contract negotiations and a personal matter with a particular employee, we will not be taking action once we are finished.
John, I think Travis might have.
Oh, sorry, Travis. Oh, we can't hear you.
I was moving.
Okay, Travis, we'll have you move. Seconded by Veronica Piller, and let's do a roll call.
Greg Mezzi?
Yes.
Veronica Piller?
Yes.
Lee Shurtleff?
Yes.
Mike Sigler?
Yes.
Travis Brooks?
Yes.
Randy Brown?
Yes.
Amanda Champion?
Yes.
Henry Granison?
Yes.
Rich John?
Yes.
Dan Klein?
Yes.
Ann Corman?
Yes.
Mike Lane?
Yes.
Shauna Black?
Yes.
13 ayes, 0 noes.
And Donna, would you like me to attend?
No, you are set. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening, everybody.
Thank you. And why don't we plan on meeting at 7:35?